blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 74, stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee. Have mercy also, I entreat. Give answer unto me. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 74. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, the second chapter, Colossians chapter 2. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor, to the satisfying of the flesh. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who is still in the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty and Eternal God, we are before thy countenance once again in this morning hour, when we are brought together in the way of thy providence into thy house of prayer. And we are so undeserving of this great blessing in our life. Do remember those in this world who do not receive this blessing, those to whom thy word has never come, in the distant places in this world, where false religion has the upper hand, and where children, parents, where all are instructed in doctrines which do not lead unto thee, but lead men astray. Lord, wilt thou remember them in their own places? And could it please thee to raise up men that may go forth to bring thy word unto the ends of this world, that there may be truly those who may experience for themselves what the nature of man is through our fall, and that may be given to see something of that blessedness, of that new and living way, and that may know it personally for their own soul, and that may be given also a calling by thee, that they may be sent unto those who have never heard. Because, Lord, how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, and how shall they believe except they shall hear it? Oh, remember them then, and wilt thou send them forth when the harvest is great and the laborers are few. And look upon them also when they have thy word as it has been brought in the country even in which we live, and yet men disregard it for such a large regard. Lord, may thou remember in mercy, and wilt thou cause thy word to go forth by thy Spirit with power, that those ministers who have run of their own accord, and those who are never sent by thee, may yet be converted by thee, that word that they do bring may have to burn by thy Spirit in their hearts, and that thy word may bring forth that new life by the preaching thereof. Lord, remember us then in mercy as a nation and as a people, as a world that is sunken in idolatry and in false religion. And remember us also as a congregation and denomination, because thou knowest that we have thy truth. Lord, thou hast given it to us by our forefathers. But thou knowest also our own evil hearts. All we have read it out of thy holy word, how that thy servant had to give such warning unto those people unto whom he had never come, but thy word had come there, and he had to warn them against a false religion. May thou give that we also may take warning, and that we may not be satisfied in our life with all that is outward, but that it may burn within our hearts, that there is a necessity that I might know it for my own soul. Lord, do look upon parents. Oh, give that urgency to be felt in the bringing up of children, that we may know it for ourselves. Else how shall we instruct those that come after us? And it is commanded unto us. But Lord, it is such an impossibility. Wilt thou forgive our many sins? Wilt thou convert our children despite us? And wilt thou work with might and power in the arising generation? Oh, that they in the days of their youth may fear the Lord in truth, and that thou may keep them from walking in the ways of sin, which cannot fill that void that lays in their young hearts, but to give them to see the preciousness of thy service. Lord, that their eyes may be opened unto it, and that they may be given to run after thee when thou wilt draw them. Lord, remember also of those that are older,
And they have been brought up and lived under the preaching and the reading of thy holy word. Lord, if they still must confess that they do not know the beginnings thereof in their own hearts, could it please thee to look upon them in this Sabbath day? Oh, that thou mayst stop them upon their way, and that thou mayest make the cold hearts to melt under the preaching of thy word by thy Spirit, that the hardened hearts may break, and that there may come a true weeping and a supplication, that they may be drawn, that they also might run after thee, that the old knees may be given to bend, and that they may be given a true supplication for the need of their own souls. Remember those that miss their loved ones, the widows and the widowers and the orphans in this world. Supply and strengthen for each and every one, each day and each week, and all the loneliness that can come upon them. And Lord, be with those that miss a relative in the old country who has also passed away in the week that has gone by. Wilt thou comfort all that mourn? And wilt thou look upon all that are afflicted? Where there are sicknesses that go from home to home, in these days, Lord, may thou give health and strength to all that are sick, and wilt thou give that it may be kept from giving complications. But wilt thou also instruct us all in the shortness of our life, in the frailty of our life, that we may be given to hasten for the sake of our life. Remember the child that is in the hospital. Lord, thou knowest his condition. Wilt thou bless the means that are used to his recovery? And wilt thou bring him safely home at thy appointed time? Strengthen the parents in all these ways that they must go through. And may thou bless and sanctify these ways unto their own hearts also, that thy afflictions and trials and tribulations may not make us harder, but that they may bow us in the dust before thee. Lord, wilt thou go with thy word this day? Oh, thou knowest all thy children and what they stand in need of. We may read it in thy word of those who are as a wandering sheep, that they have lost the way. And Lord, when they have lost the way, then they are not able to find it anymore. Oh, may thou, as that great shepherd of thy sheep, be pleased to look upon them in this day. Wilt thou be pleased to come, Lord, and to give a little instruction? When it has been many years, when it has been such a long time, that they have received a little token from thee, could it please to give a little an encouragement this day, that thou hast not forgotten them, that thou wilt show them that thou art still alive, and that thou art governor over all the land of Egypt, and that they may be given to draw near to thee again, even as it was in the days that are gone by. Lord, be with each and every one when we go over this world with no true spiritual desire. Oh, we have come, Lord, this morning into thy house of prayer. It is the place of miracles. When thou wast in this world, thou didst enter into the sanctuary. There thou didst heal also on the Sabbath days. those that were sick. Oh, there thou didst, as that great prophet, give instruction to those that were ignorant, that the people may say that this man, he does teach as no man in this world. Oh, could it please thee in this morning hour also so to come and to dwell in the midst of us. Oh, that it may be heard with new ears in this day, as it has never been heard and has never been received into the heart before in our life. And that children, that parents, and that older ones may be given that true desire and that true love for their Maker and for their Creator, that we cannot give unto ourselves or unto anyone. But Lord, then we are so dependent upon thy Holy Spirit, not only to speak words, not only to have matter, but also for the application. Lord, could it please thee then to come and to visit us this day? Or wilt thou not stay away from us as we so justly deserve because of our own sin that rises up against us and that prevails from day to day? But wilt thou take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy and to stretch forth thy mighty arm and to speak one word as a still small voice in this morning hour, that it may be for the raising of the dead, and that it may be for the bringing forth of that new life that thou sayest is so necessary. For except a man be born again, thou sayest, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that thou may give a little word of instruction and further leading unto thy own people who do not know the way, and who do not know that next step which they must take. Lord, we beseech thee that thou would pass by our transgressions for the sake and for the name and for the blood of thine only begotten Son, and that thou may receive us in him in whom thou art so well pleased. Lord, do it then. Oh, do it for thy great and thy holy name's sake, and that eternity may tell, and that indeed thou hast put thy words in our mouth, and that thou hast blessed them for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. All stanzas of Psalter 159. Congregation, we ask your attention in this morning hour for our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, Colossians chapter 2, and thereof the third verse. Colossians 2, verse 3, where we read, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So far, the words of our text. Our text speaks about hidden treasures. First, the manner in which these treasures are hidden. And second, the substance of these treasures. Hidden treasures first, the manner in which these treasures are hidden, and second, the substance of these treasures. A treasure, what is that? Treasure is something that is very highly valued, that is very highly prized by us in this world. There are great differences, of course, in things in this world. There are some things that we prize, that we value very highly. And there are other things that are not of very much worth to us at all. And then there is also a great difference in persons, and that one person is very highly valuing one thing, and that same object is not of very great value to someone else. Thus, there are great differences in our treasures. But we read here about treasures which are hidden, hid treasures. Sometimes, boys and girls, maybe you do that. That you are hiding something. And then you make that into a little game. So that your brother or your sister has to go and find it. Then it is also as a hid treasure. But then there are things in this world that are hidden naturally, and that we cannot see, and that we must go to find. We think about those minerals that are enclosed within the earth, gold and silver, that they are not just readily available, but that they are hidden from our eyes, and that we have to labor in order and that we may find these treasures, those treasures, and what is held to be a treasure, what is highly prized, what is valued by us so much. They are things that are often not just common, but they are often things that are very rare. Can be that those things that are so very highly prized by us, and that we are even unaware that they are so nearby, and that we even have such a treasure. We read about the Lord Jesus, and that he speaks about a man who was in the field, and that as he was digging and working in that field, that he has come upon some treasure. Do we realize what treasures that we have when we have a loving wife or a loving husband? And do we realize what treasures that we have when we have a dear father and a mother, boys and girls? Because many in this world have none. Do we realize what great treasures that we have when we may have children? They are more a congregation than all the things in this world that we are laboring for, often so very hard and diligently in this world. Are we neglecting those treasures which the Lord has given unto us? Do we realize what a treasure that we may have when we have the Word of God? And when we may have that truth that is according to godliness? Our text that is speaking about treasures, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thus it speaks about the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Is that congregation a treasure to us? Wisdom and knowledge? Do we attempt to receive wisdom and knowledge? Do we read? And when we read, do we have a purpose for our reading other than just wasting our time? Or are we reading those books, young people, parents, grandparents? Are we reading those books wherein we can find wisdom and knowledge? Is that to us a treasure? We often say, and that sometimes it needs to be a foot lower. That means it needs to be not only in our mind, but it needs also to be in our heart. But by that expression, congregation, then we do not despise the knowledge of the mind. But the knowledge of the mind is that which the Lord is giving to us through a very diligent searching. Because our text that is speaking about a hidden wisdom and knowledge. And wisdom and knowledge is not something that is coming so easily, but wisdom and knowledge, that is something that is often hidden, and we need to be seeking for that which is true and that which is wise. Are we also doing that within our own catechism classes, boys and girls, young people? Or have you not begun yet for tomorrow evening? And parents, do our children know their catechism questions, their answers? Are you also guiding that they may seek that wisdom? Here in this text, we do not read about a natural wisdom and understanding. We do not read about something that is just hidden from the mind, that is just hidden from our intellect. But we read here about something that is hidden in another way. And this text is speaking about a treasure which is hidden because it is not even valued. It is despised by man, even though in itself that has such a great value. But we do not see that value. We do not recognize that value. And therefore, we do not seek for this wisdom. We don't even consider it to be a treasure. And why is it that we do not consider it to be a treasure? Because it is foreign, actually, even to our very nature. It is something foreign to us, and therefore we are not seeking it. There is a certain wisdom and knowledge that is not foreign to us because we have a mind and an intellect. And that is all the wisdom and knowledge that we can gain in this world. When it is about our own occupation, And when it is for our welfare and getting forward here in this world, no, that is not so foreign to us. And therefore, that wisdom we treasure, we prize it. And therefore, we are seeking that knowledge and that wisdom. But this wisdom and this knowledge of which Paul is speaking, that is foreign to us. The animals are not seeking for wisdom and knowledge of this world. And why are they not? Well, you say they have no rational mind. No, they can do nothing with wisdom and knowledge that is in this world. It is foreign to their nature. They are but an animal. They are not a rational being. How is it now with fallen man? Fallen man in that same way does not seek the things that are of God. Fallen man in that same way does not see any treasure in those things which are spiritual. And why not? Because it is foreign to his nature. And what is his nature? That is, it was spiritual, but that spiritual life has been taken away. He is now spiritually dead. And therefore, even as an animal seeks not rational knowledge, so we, when we are dead in sins and in trespasses, see nothing that is treasurable. We do not prize, we do not value those things which are of God. We do not recognize their value. But the nature of this hidden treasure that Paul is speaking about, the very nature of these things is spiritual. And that is the reason that this treasure that is so hidden from that natural man, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Congregation, the Bible, that is such a treasure. It has many directions, young people, for this life. Do you ever read the book of Proverbs? Do you seek its directions that you may be led even in the things of this world? But its treasure is so much greater than that. Why? Because it is speaking about a hid treasure. It is speaking about spiritual things, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If now, congregation, something is in itself so very, very valuable, and if people do not see that value, then they are never going to seek after it. Why not? Because they have no motive. Because they don't see any reason why they should expend energy to seek after something that they do not prize. And when they never seek after it, they shall never find it. Then they shall never receive it, because the Lord Jesus says, "Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Thus, what is so necessary? It is so necessary that men might see
the treasure, that men might come to highly value, to highly prize these things which are spiritual.
What is the only way
that a man will ever see value, that he will ever treasure spiritual things? That is, through that new birth. That is the only way. And when he is born again, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But what does that new life give? That life is giving that spiritual discernment. And then we discern between treasures. And then we know of what was our treasure in this world. But then we receive a new treasure. And then we begin to prize, then we begin to highly value something else. And when we begin to highly value this, then we begin to seek it. You say, then I must be born again. Yes, that is what the Lord Jesus says. And how is this possible? Well, that comes, we read in the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word. That is that means of grace that the Lord has given, that a man might see something of that treasure, and that his heart may be affected. Think only of the Queen of Sheba. It was when she heard. And it was those things that she heard that have entered into her heart. Oh, Ezekiel had to preach also to dry bones. No, they also could not value, they also could not see any great treasure in the things that were living because they were dead. And yet he must preach to them, and it is through that preaching that the Lord is working to give life and to give a hunger and to give a thirst and to give a desire after those spiritual things, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And now when the spiritual things, when that kingdom of God, when that is now becoming our treasure, then what kind of treasure does that become? Then it becomes a hid treasure. Thus, then it is not a treasure that we possess. No, but it is a treasure which we lack. Then it is a treasure which we desire to have. And because we lack it and we desire to have it, then boys and girls, and then what follows? Then you say, then we begin to seek it. Yes. That is now what that new life starts to do. Do you know that new life already? That begins to seek after the things which are spiritual. We can read about a Ruth. Oh, she is beginning to seek after those things which are of another land, which are of another kingdom. And why do they begin to seek after these things above seeking all the things in this world? It is because it becomes such a treasure to them. It is because they are eternal things. They are lasting things. Then we see that eunuch. Oh, he is on his way, yes, but he is searching. He is seeking in that holy word of God.
How soon then do they become to possess this treasure? That is, congregation, not the same for everyone. But we must say that in general, that the Lord is not giving to them this treasure so very quickly. No, it is just as it is in the natural life. The Lord shows to us an example. And when His men are seeking after a treasure, then it is natural that that is taking energy, that is taking effort, and that is taking time. Just like Isaac has questioned his son Jacob, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Why is it that the Lord Jesus is encouraging His church in His word that they should continue in prayer and in supplication? Why is it that the Lord Jesus tells about that widow and the unjust judge that men ought always to pray and not to faint? Because He knows that it is not a treasure that is immediately being received by that seeking people. You say perhaps, why is it that the Lord is waiting so long? Why is it that the Lord is making them to seek after this treasure that is a trial? How precious is that treasure unto us? And in that trial, there is so much that a man needs to learn about himself, and a treasure of the world that is still lying so near to his heart. And in that trial, and then the Lord is also weeding out that temporary faith, which cannot stand, which cannot come of itself through that trial, but the Lord is upholding His own church in that seeking, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. Actually, these two words, they are speaking basically in this context of the same thing. Then one word is added upon another as a stress, as an emphasis upon this. And then He does not speak about natural knowledge, but about that knowledge of true saving faith. Our young people learn it. Catechism, confession, class, faith, that has three aspects: knowledge, assent, and trust. And here we speak about wisdom and knowledge, and that is that knowledge of true saving faith, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thus, He speaks about a personal knowledge. Thus, we see a church that is not able to do with a mere intellectual knowledge, although very highly to be prized. Yet it is for him not sufficient. Or when the Lord gives new life, then it is not enough that my neighbor is converted, but I also need to be converted. Then it is not enough that my neighbor may truly fear the Lord, but I also myself want to fear that same God. Ruth said, "Thy God, my God." That was the desire that lived in her heart. But that brings us to our second thought, the substance of these treasures. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In whom, thus, who is that? In whom are hid? We have to go to the previous verse. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thus we hear about God, and then about the Father, and about Christ. Thus he speaks about God in general first. And he speaks also about specifically the persons of the Father here and of the Son. Thus, what is now in that new birth, the first object that becomes for that people a treasure that is, as we read here, God. God. Then there is no distinction in the persons. Then a man knows not of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Yes, in his mind perhaps, if he is brought up under the truth. But it is not Christ that we left in paradise, but it is God whom we left in paradise. It is our Maker. And it is God who is the object, the first object of the love of that new life. God who is the first object of their desire, of their longing. As the heart, we read, thirsteth for water brooks, so thirsteth my soul after thee, O God. It seeks for God and ever looks and longs that living God to see, and longs that living God to see. Oh, then we see that we were created to serve that God. We were created to love that God. Our whole life, our whole heart, our whole being. And that was all to honor and to glorify that holy God. That is what we lost in paradise. And that is what we receive again in that new birth. But congregation, what is now so hidden? And when God is the object of their desires, and when they desire to return to Him, what is now so hidden? All hidden is the way in which they may return to God. Job says, how should man be just with God? Oh, indeed, they try. Oh, indeed, they will make an attempt. And that they may return unto God by doing what? By ceasing from sin. Oh, that is just simply a logical connection. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And therefore it is death that is separating me from God. And therefore it is sin that is separating me from God. Oh, how evident is that God, their treasure, when they begin to labor under His law, and when they say, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Oh, how evident is that God, their treasure, when sin becomes their greatest burden. How evident is that God, their treasure, when His word and when His day
when his people, oh, that has become so precious in their eyes. Oh, how evident is that God, their treasure, when their walk that has become so tender in this world. And when they do not dare to step over a straw, why? Because it is that holy law of God. But congregation, what remains so hidden? It is that way to return. Why? Because the more they labor, the more hopeless that it becomes. For the hypocrite, no, it does not become hopeless. For the hypocrite, that is not a discouraging way. But when the Lord is working, then it is so discouraging. Why? Because there is an increase in the knowledge of what lies in my own heart. But as the Lord opened, the Lord is opening that to them a fountain. That it is a fountain of corruption that lies within their heart. No, it is not just a matter of outward deeds and words and being a little careful, no. But that evil, that sin that is lying in the bottom of this wretched heart, and therefore now with that desire to return unto that God, oh, the more that they labor, the more wretchedness that they see, and the more impossible that it becomes that I should ever, ever return again into that blessed communion with God. Oh, what do they learn? Oh, they do learn the strictness of His law. Oh, they do learn to see that God is their judge. And that He cannot pass over one single transgression in their whole life. But that way to return, oh, that way to return is hidden. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is hid. And that is the way it is until it pleases the Lord to reveal it. Not hidden for their mind, no. Educated under that truth, but hidden for the personal comfort of their own soul. And why does the Lord lead in such a way? Congregation, if God would be glorified alone as our Creator, then there would be no need for the fall. But the Lord will not be glorified only as our Creator. No, the Lord is going to be glorified as the Redeemer of His church. It is not only God who will become the treasure of that people, but it is also the Son of God, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thus, the Lord is going to begin to instruct His people in the knowledge of the Trinity, of the three persons of that Trinity. It is Christ Himself. That people will be instructed in as the true wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, they are going to glorify God for His only begotten Son, in whom are all the treasures and of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, they are in God. But they are seen, they are revealed, especially in the office of that mediator. Oh, when that official work of that Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is revealed to such a soul, then it is that Son of God as mediator of His church that is becoming their treasure of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thus Christ, He is becoming that special treasure in whom that wisdom of God is revealed in the life of His church. What does Paul say? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. That wisdom and knowledge. And He speaks about that Son of God and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, that is a wisdom and a knowledge that makes it evident how that God, an angry God, can be reconciled unto a sinful man. Oh, that wisdom and knowledge that is made evident in that Son of God. Because in Him they see how that price for sin can be so completely paid to the satisfaction of His Father who is the judge. Oh, the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How a polluted and filthy soul is able to be brought into that blessed communion again, unto a holy and a righteous God. Oh, that wisdom and that knowledge of God, how that the ungodly can be reconciled to God, and how His faith that can be counted unto Him for righteousness, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Or is it any wonder? And when that bride hears from those daughters of Jerusalem and they say, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us?" That she gives an answer and she speaks about Him as her treasure. "My beloved is white and ruddy. Oh, my beloved, He is the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, is it any wonder when that way is opened, when that way is revealed, in that way of impossibility in the life of His church, that the church is sinking away under that wonder, that treasure of wisdom and the knowledge of God? Let us sing Psalter 211. O God, most holy are Thy ways, and who like Thee deserves my praise? Thou only doest wondrous things. The whole wide world Thy glory sings. Thy outstretched arm Thy people saved, though sore distressed and long enslaved. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 211. Thank you.
and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Congregation, has the Son of God, in his mediatorial office, ever become to you a treasure? If God himself has never become to you a treasure, then do not think that Son of God has become to you a treasure. Calvin, he writes, we cannot know God outside of Christ, except, of course, in his judgment and in his wrath. Then we are outside of him forever and forever. But we cannot know God outside of Christ. But we also do not know Christ if he does not lead us unto the Father. Why is that? Because who is Christ? What is the office of Christ? That is, he is a Savior. That is, to save from the greatest evil, sin, and to bring again to the highest good, that is God. Who is Christ? He is the mediator. And when we have never mourned because of that gap, that gulf between God and our soul, then we should not think that blessed mediator has ever become precious unto us. If God has once become our treasure, then the Lord has made us into a seeking people. And indeed, then the Lord is giving, by times, comforts, little tokens upon the way for that people. Sometimes the pouring out of his love, even within the house of God, and sometimes an endearing unto himself, sometimes only to give them but a little access at that throne of grace. But how can there be rest outside of some revelation of that blessed mediator? Because our fathers, they say it can still go two ways yet. There was not only a pilgrim drawn out of that city of destruction, but there was also a pliable, and one drawn by the power of that Holy Spirit. And the Lord will finish for him perfectly what he for him has undertaken. But from the outside and from their own sight, and then they cannot tell the difference between that pilgrim and that pliable. Oh, it is so necessary that we have no rest outside of that wicked gate. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, I am the door. And congregation, the most wicked sinner in this whole world, he has never been turned away from that door. No, it is actually just the opposite. Oh, that door, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not precious to the Pharisees and to the scribes, no. But he was precious unto publicans and to sinners. And therefore you are welcome.
just as you are, so filthy, so wretched, so polluted as your heart can be, then you do not need to cleanse yourself, no. Then you take the office of him and the work of him who has come to cleanse from all sin. Or what does he say? He says, if I wash thee not, then thou hast no part with me. Oh, do you then say with Peter, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh, is he then not that very great treasure when he has accomplished everything, and so that there is nothing left for the chiefest of the sinners to be received by that holy and that righteous God? Oh, then will we despise this great treasure. Why? Because we want to uphold ourselves, and because we want to receive actually the honor. And when we reconcile ourselves unto that God, no. Oh, he has said it is finished. And therefore he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Although your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, it is in him that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge to return you, congregation, back into that favor of your Creator, the favor of your Maker. They are hid in that blessed Son of God, and that he has sent unto the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, is he no treasure unto you? Has he never become a treasure to your poor soul? And what shall it be to stand before that judgment seat of God? And when he has never become a treasure, he is the only begotten Son of God. Oh, the Father has said of him, that in him I am well pleased, O people of the Lord. In verse 2 we read here, we read of the riches, of the full assurance of understanding. That is the full assurance of the true saving faith. Oh, is that not a treasure? That full assurance. Oh, then in every exercise of that true faith, then you may experience a little bit, even by the revelation of that Son of God, what that blessed assurance is. And then it becomes to you such a great treasure. Or is it not then a great treasure to seek also in the application, when in the conscious knowledge, that you may receive him, and that you may receive that blessed full assurance of faith, and that may be to the comfort of your soul, and that is so to the honor and to the glory of that triune God. Oh, you say they are high things. Yes, that is true. Oh, then they are high things, but actually in the experience, they are low things. And why then are they low things? Because there is nothing so low as hell. To that place that he has descended in his wisdom and knowledge, and in order to conquer that prince of darkness that would keep you in that wretched place. Oh, it is because of him that the Father does say of his church, deliver him from going down unto the pit, for I have found the ransom. And then never again will the Father deal in a judicial way with his church. Oh, is it then not true that all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge, they are hidden in that blessed Son of God? O congregation, what is our treasure? Is our treasure still the world? Is our treasure all the things that we are hastening to gather before that we have to leave them all to go again? On the day that we pass out of this world, only to leave everything behind and to stand naked
before our Maker, when we have no robe of righteousness to cover us in His sight. Oh, use those means of grace with great diligence and beg the Lord that He may show to you, that He may make you to see that great treasure that lies in God, and that you may begin to seek Him in that day that He still may be found. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is such a great treasure, but we have no eyes to see it. We are so carnal, we are so worldly, and we are so of the earth, earthy. Lord, Thou canst open our eyes. Thou can give us new eyes to see, and ears to hear, and hearts to understand, an affection that goes out to Thee, that loves Thee, and a zeal that runs after Thee. O Lord, do it for Thy name's sake. Remember each and every one of us together. Lord, it is a treasure that each and every one of us stand in need of. Open Thou then our poor blind eyes, and wilt Thou go with us further in this Thy holy day. Bring each one safely home over dangerous ways. Keep us from all accident, harm, and danger, and bring us with desire into Thy house in this afternoon hour, that we may seek that treasure still to be found in this day of grace. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 426, stanzas 1, 7, and 9. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry and supplication. Inclines His ear, gives strength and consolation in life, in death. My heart will seek His face. 1, 7, and 9 of 426.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.